From newstalkzb.co.nz,
it's Larry Williams.
We go to Parliament. Barry Soper is with me here. Hi, Barry. And the flag, Barry?
Yeah, an interesting one. It sort of came out of the blue with John Key. Is out at a factory visit in Lower Hutt today and sort of almost brought the issue up himself. And now it's firmly on the agenda. He says that he'll be talking to some of his senior cabinet colleagues between now and the election, and hasn't ruled out the possibility of a referendum being held in conjunction with the next election. But look, a brief potted history of the New Zealand flag. Basically, we had the Union Jack between 1840, when the Treaty of Waitangi was signed, and 1902. And of course, that led to Honohike felling flagstaffs on a number of occasions. They rejected the Union Jack, Māori did, because they viewed it as a symbol of British power over Māori. So Māori obviously have got a very strong voice in this. It was only at the end of the 19th century that the blue ensign with the Southern Cross was the flag basically for maritime purposes, and it gradually was used on land. And it was King Dick Seddon that ruled that that was going to be the official flag of New Zealand. That was back in 1902. So we've had that New Zealand flag now for some considerable time. And one of John Key's old mates, actually, Lloyd Morrison, the former head of Infantrill, he was a good mate of mine as well, and he died a couple of years ago. And he really led the charge for the change of the flag in New Zealand. And it sort of died away after, unfortunately, Lloyd Morrison passed on. But now it's come back. John Key's put it firmly on the political agenda. His opponents would say, look, there are plenty of other issues that we can discuss between now and the election, and the flag is a pretty minor one. But look, I talked to a number of minor party leaders today, Peter Dunn, Winston Peters, Russell Norman, and Hone Harawira. This is what they had to say.
We're not a British colony.
Because of the Prime Minister's weakness, we've got two flags now. We've got the Māori Party flag that flies on Waitangi Day. We've got the flag that we all salute. And so sorting that would be a good idea.
I'm open to the idea of changing it. I'm also open to a republic, so it's not surprising.
We're not just babies of Queen Victoria.
Yeah, so no surprise or no prizes for guessing which flag Hone Harawira would want, and that's the Rangatiratanga flag. But Winston Peters, he said that's one flag that is now recognised officially in New Zealand alongside the official flag, the main flag that we use. So he said it would be nice to sort this issue out, and I think he's probably right.
Yes, but how's this going to play out? So Cabinet, so, oh yeah, it's a reasonable sort of idea. We're just going to get the silver fern with the black background, which I quite like, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the guy that we just spoke to from silverfernflag.co.nz, I've had a look at that now, and it looks pretty good, you know. So we're going to get a bunch of options, and then people can tick what they like.
Well, you can imagine, Larry, how difficult this is going to be. I mean, for a start, getting the options in place, because people are passionate about the flag, and when the maple leaf was used by Canada, when it became the official flag there, and the Union Jack on the corner of that was taken away, there was a lot of debate in Canada for a number of years. There has been, as the man that you spoke to said, it's been going on for 10 years now, the debate on whether we should change our flag. The only person that I spoke to today in Parliament that was opposed to it was John Banks. He said that, look, our soldiers had fought under the New Zealand flag in two world wars, and he believes it should remain unchanged. But I think, look, even the old diggers these days would probably say, look, we've moved on since then. And should we still have ties with the Union Jack? And I think most people would say, look, that's a matter of the past, and maybe we should look forward.
Well, a couple of things, Barry. I don't think this should be an election issue, a defining election issue. I think it's a side issue. You get an independent panel, and they come up with the option, and I think it's a good idea. And you include the current one and see what the people think.
Yeah, but I agree with you.
Cost-wise, it's probably better that you do it in an election, general election, right?
Yeah, well, to run it in conjunction with the election, a referendum is much cheaper than what it would cost you, a minimum of $9 million for a separate referendum. I think it's probably too... Although, it is a big issue, and people do get very passionate about it.
Now, coroner's recommendations on cycle safety have been turned down by the government.
Yes, well, this has come about through papers being released under the Official Information Act to the Dominion Post. Basically, the government rejected, that was the Transport Minister Michael Woodhouse, rejected the suggestions of the Wellington coroner, Ian Smith, when he called for an overhaul of cycle safety last February. So it's almost a year old, this one. But Mr. Smith said all cyclists should have to wear high visibility clothing at all times, and there should be a mandatory 1.5 metre gap between vehicles and cyclists. You can imagine that being imposed in Wellington, where some of the streets are very, very narrow. If you had to do that, you certainly couldn't have a two-way street. But the point that Michael Woodhouse made to us today was that, look, to mandate one item of equipment over others, he says, wouldn't be appropriate. And he says, in respect of making the 1.5 metre gap from cyclists a reality, he said it would be so hard to police. And I think he's probably got a very good point there. But if you look at from the cyclist's point of view, and I know that many drivers get absolutely infuriated with them, between July 2007 and September 13, 94 cyclists died on New Zealand roads. That's an average of 15 a year. And of the 59 cases involving motor vehicles, 34, or just over half, were due to driver error. So, I suppose the argument in that case can go both ways. Cyclists are at fault sometimes, and so too are drivers.
Now, the government will use its financial veto on the paid parental leave bill.
Yeah, and that was pretty obvious. John Key spelt it out today, because I think, the budget's been announced for May the 15th today, and I would imagine that what you will see in the budget is some sort of policy on paid parental leave. Certainly John Key's indicating that, it will probably be more than the 14 weeks that are currently prescribed, but not the 26 weeks that Labor is advocating. So Labor's lost the argument on this one, because the government in the end does have the financial power.
It's interesting, isn't it? So from stuff that I've been reading over the last 24 hours, that what is it, $60, isn't it, a week for a baby for the first year is actually kicks in after the paid parental leave. So if it goes to 6 months, actually for 6 months.
Yes, it is.
And the 150K.
But that's providing a parent does want to take time off.
Right, yes. I mean, well, they can take a year off now.
Yeah, the thing is, that's right, Larry, but they still could get the $60 a week if both parents decided to stay and work, and providing the household was bringing in less than $150,000 a year.
Sorry, you've lost me there. So,
if a parent opts not to take paid parental leave, and both parents carry on working, providing they're earning under $100,000 a year, they'd get the $60.
But I'll give you this example. So somebody's earning $10 million a year, all right?
Yep.
And they go on paid parental leave. They get nothing. They get nothing.
Yeah.
All right, not 10 million, let's say a million, 2 million, you know. But they get nothing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, on paid parental leave, apart from, so they're earning nothing, you see?
Yeah.
And the paid parental leave is capped, right? It's capped.
Well, the paid parental leave at the moment is capped at 14 weeks.
Yeah, whatever. No, but it's also capped in payment, isn't it, my leader? What is it, whatever it is, dollars? Yeah. Yes, Larry, okay. So it's capped. Now, the person earning a couple of million dollars a year is getting no income, and that payment is capped 6 months. So for the next 6 months, for example, if they stay off for a year, the baby, they'll get the $60 a week.
Yeah. But if you're on that sort of money, Larry, I think you'd...
I was just trying to give you an example, you see.
Yeah. I don't think it's a very good one, actually, Larry.
Don't you? What about a person on $500,000?
I think you come down a bit more...
Still applies. It still applies.
If you're earning $500,000 a year, surely you can afford to employ somebody.
I'm just pointing out the
and
policy
dare
kicks
I say,
in.
Larry, I was earning nothing like that. No. When I had my kids, we had a nanny as well. Oh.
Policy kicks in, doesn't matter what. Anyway, thank you, Barry. Barry Sapre, our political editor, News Talk ZB. It is now 27 to 5.